welcome to Marvel Movie News. Today we're talking about Spider-Man Homecoming. We're talking about Thor Ragnarok set picks. We're talking about Marvel and Fox Studios maybe teaming up together. Ant-Man and the Wasp, Doctor Strange rumors. There's so much to talk about. Sit right down. We'll be right back.
Welcome to Popcorn Talk, featuring movie discussion, news, and interviews. Popcorn Talk. We talk movies. And now, here's Popcorn Talk's Marvel Movie News.
Yeah, rock your mind. I'm the best singer. Can you hear my voice?
It's just acapella.
Everybody, we are playing the song because Meredith is back.
The whole team.
The whole team is back. Yes. The entire team is here. Hey, congrats to us.
Woo!
Let's cut the music. Cut the music.
Moving on.
All right. Killing everybody. As you can see, we've got the lovely Meredith Placco back on our show, and hopefully she'll be back for the foreseeable future.
I
think we've worked out schedules now. We are the Marvel Movie News coming to you live from the Living Planet Ego. That's what we decided today, where we tell you all the news from all the studios and why you should be as excited as we are. Subscribe to us on iTunes at Marvel Movie News or find us at youtube.com/Popcorn Talk Network. You can also find us through the Popcorn Talks website, popcorntalknetwork.com. Or follow us on Twitter at Marvel News PTN or at The Popcorn Talk or on Facebook, facebook.com/ Marvel News Show. And guys, if you tweet out a link to our show with a message telling people about the live chat, Doom in the booth, who retweets hero?
Doom demands your tweets and your thoughts on how viral Matt Key is.
Stop it. That is a conversation for later. The hot topic. Such a hot topic. Anyway, guys, I am, as everyone has said, Matt Key at The Matt Key. We're joined by Meredith Placco. What's your Twitter?
At M Placco.
Where else can people find you?
You can find me at Instagram. And you can see all the crazy things I've been up to. You can also find me at geek.com because that's where I live every day of my life.
Yep,
she
that's
is
a good
from
life.
The internet.
I don't actually exist in real life.
Physical address, just the mascot. Yeah.
We are also joined, as usual, by the coy boy himself, Coyjandro, at Coyjandreau.
You know me so well.
Except no substitutes. And sitting at the desk today, we are joined by the wonderful, the effervescent, Dr. Thomas Parham, PhD. He is Professor, Executive Director of Screenwriting and Curricular Development, Department of Cinematic Arts and School of Visual Performing Arts at Azusa Pacific University, California!
You left out DVR programming.
Oh, come on! I put so much in there. First of all, watch your Twitter, sir. Where can people follow you?
At TomDaveLA.
And Tom is spelled T-O-M or
T-H? T-H-O-M.
Perfect.
D-A-V-E.
All right, and where else can we find you?
On the Book of Faces at T-H-O-M-D-A-V-E.
Nice, all right. How's doctoring over at on screenwriting at APU doing?
I'm working on our brand spanking new MA in screenwriting, which launches in January.
Oh, I may have to join that.
Low residency too.
Ooh, can I get a scholarship for free to go do that?
Yeah, I don't know about that.
Come on, I do a Marvel show. Like that counts for something, right?
Can we get honorary PhDs?
yeah, because studios when they hire writers, they're like, wait, do you have a PhD? Because I won't hire you otherwise.
Like, did you go to high school?
I mean, at least I have a bachelor's and part of a master's.
Yeah, I'm the
somewhere.
Same. I'm the same. And we've
there
got
we go.
One of our super fans.
Aww.
As a herald on the cosmic couch, we are rejoined by the lovely Bennett Green. Say hello, everybody.
Hi, guys.
Hi, Bennett.
Thanks for joining us
again.
Thank you for having me.
Of course. It is now 4 minutes into the show, so what do you say we dive skibbity-boo-pa-pa right into the news?
I miss the scatting.
I like scatting. It's fun.
Matt Scat Key.
The Matt Scat. Oh, that actually...
How have we never thought of that before? It rhymes and everything. It's right there. It's been waiting.
Can someone out there please grab the audio clip of Matt saying, I like scat? I really appreciate
Stop
it.
Stop it.
Thank you so much.
By the way, I'm going to embarrass myself. In high school, I had a friend named Matt Moody, who I liked calling Fat Booty. But he reversed it and started calling me Cat Pee, and I was like, well, that's...
Yeah.
I'm going to stop that.
Right.
I'm going to stop calling you Cat Booty. I don't want to be Cat Pee. Anyway, let's... Marvel! All right, Spider-Man Homecoming. Let's start there. First of all, the Sony Pictures Entertainment chairman, Tom Rothman, who was speaking with The Hollywood Reporter, that's what it was, was talked about the Marvel and Sony relationship, how far that's working. He was asked, where will there continue to be a growing Spider-Man universe that grows out of this first film? And will they continue to work with Marvel in the future on that universe? So he said yes to both questions. Working with Marvel's been fantastic. Our relationship with Marvel is amazing. Basically, how I interpret that is Spider-Man is going to have his own sort of extended universe over at Sony.
Yeah.
So we're going to have like a Spider-Verse sort of thing. Don't misunderstand what I just said. I'm not saying the Spider-Verse is coming.
Matt just confirmed the Spider-Verse.
I did not.
That means we're going to get Spider-Woman, Spider-Gwen. No,
it's official. Matt Keith said
Venom, Carnage.
Oh my God. That means, Super
Spy.
Miles Morales.
It means that all of those things are possible. None of those things are confirmed.
They're just, that's what you said.
Justin, Gwynpool confirmed by Matt Keith.
Yes! That means Fox, Sony, and Marvel.
You heard it first on Marvel Movie News.
Okay. Okay.
You gotta get one over Collider.
Are you ever not going to fall for that?
they went on to talk to him about the relationship, and he said Sony has the ultimate authority, meaning like that Sony has like the ultimate say in yes or no, here's the money, do it this way. But they have deferred the I think this is the best quote I've heard all year from anybody ever in the history of working with Marvel or having a Marvel property. Sony Pictures Entertainment chairman Tom Rothman said that Sony have deferred the creative lead to Marvel because they know what they're doing.
That's just so gracious. Yeah. That's amazing.
Yeah. Well, considering we saw, what, 5 Spider-Man movies where they didn't know what they were doing?
Yeah.
Especially from the new Amazing Spider-Man fail. They're like, we want money.
Well, because
we have to agree.
They were trying to launch a franchise. It's like, dude, Spider-Man is a property. Mm-hmm. It's like, how about you make this movie good?
Yeah.
And then maybe do spin-offs.
Then consider the franchise. Mm-hmm. That's the thing that Marvel, that's the thing that people have completely forgotten about. Marvel. Mm-hmm. Iron Man is still to this day one of the best movies Marvel has ever made.
Yes.
And that is what they established their entire extended universe on.
Bingo.
Yeah.
Many people forget that. Like,
Spider-Man's great because they establish a foundation because they assume we're smart enough to know that Spider-Man exists. So they can establish a foundation with Civil War, that moment, and then we have a beautiful foundation to have his first solo movie. So you can branch out much faster because of the known property that is Spider-Man. But you don't start with, 8 plot lines, 7 villains, like that. Spider-Man 2.
We're gonna do Senator Stick. No, please don't. No, stop it. Just stop. No.
And a partridge and a bear tree.
just give me a good Spider-Man story. Like,
seriously.
And give me good cameos. I love cameos. I'll feed for days off of cameos.
Yeah, like off of a solid Easter egg. That's perfect for me.
Because I am starting to look at the growing cast list of Homecoming, and
the cast is amazing.
It is amazing. I'm starting to worry.
Get a little worried.
It's getting a little bloated.
Yeah. Well, they can all just be students. Exactly. They're also young. It doesn't. Mm-hmm. A lot of them can't be villains. They're casting a diverse, multifaceted, really talented cast. They might have 3 lines.
Exactly, and that's great because all they have to do is give me 3 lines, give me a glimpse, and I'm like, I know who that is, and they can come out in somewhere else, and I'm going to be so excited.
If you read the old Ditko comics and the old Drowned Me to Senior comics, it's so full. There's so many characters, and that's how it should be because that's the Spider-Man universe.
And I guess where my fear comes from is that Sony in the past has not shown that they can handle an ensemble cast well.
But Marvel
can.
Yes. And this quote saying, like,
except for Avengers.
They know what they're doing.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I love that he's the bravery of admitting, like, because what you don't hear him say is they know what they're doing. We don't.
Yeah.
And like the capacity to admit ignorance in that way. Like, and I don't mean ignorance is an insult. Like, it's, they don't know. Mm-hmm. That's okay. And it's better to admit that and defer to the people who do know and support those people than it is to try and just, no, we know what we're doing. Stop it.
Mm-hmm.
So, what were you going to say, Tom?
We need to thank the North Korean hackers for making this all possible.
North Korea, you did one thing right.
One time. Wow, Bennett. Wow, Bennett is super excited about this. Wow, well, Bennett, didn't know you were such a fan. So I wanted to pose this question to you guys with this in mind, with the possibility that an extended Spider-Man universe could exist. Not saying it does. What kind of stuff would you want to see? Would you want to see like the Clone Saga? Would you want to see Ben Reilly or Kane Parker or Agent Venom? Spider-Woman.
I want to see some of the older stories. Like, I as much as I love the newer Spider stories being told in the Marvel Now stuff or whatever are we calling it Marvel Now? Are we calling?
I don't think Marvel knows.
I don't even know what we're calling it. All new, all different. Who knows? There's still so many great classic stories that can be updated for modern times, and I want a good Venom story.
So by classics, are you meaning 60s, 70s, 80s, 90s?
I'm talking like, because I'm not as well versed in Spider World as say Coy, but like I still love I love when Spider-Man gets the Venom suit. Mm-hmm. I think there's a direct tie-in for what's happening in Thor Ragnarok. Mm-hmm. From what I know, that we could see a Venom story. Cool. Born out of that. I would like to see that story told. I think that can be adapted. How do I say words? I just write them these days. Adapted for modern storytelling, modern day audiences, and take it out from when did that come out? 70s?
Venom Saga?
Yeah.
Or Venom?
That's the 80s.
Oh, 80s. Thank you.
I thought it was like 1990.
Well, Secret Wars.
Secret Wars, yeah. Late 80s. Venom 80s, was then. Yeah. Venom got 90s. Popular in the mid 90s, but yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
And I would love to see that kind of, you know, with a more like modern shell on that. And that ideally, that's what I want for a Spider-Man story, because that's, for me, that was probably my first introduction to Spider-Man outside of the Ultimate stuff and Miles Morales, because that's what really got me into Spider-Man was reading Ultimate and reading Miles' story. And that's cool. when I fell back.
I think, may I briefly diatribe, I think that Spider-Man's heart comes from him being the underdog, and the casting of this character so well and so young really allows us... I think Spider-Man and Batman have the two best rogues gallery in comics. So I think having Spider-Man exist in a Harry Potter-esque slash boyhood way, where we grow with Spider-Man over the course of 9 or 10 films, having one or two villains per film, and then building up to more and more and more, laying seeds like Eddie Brock, allowing for Venom, allowing for this well-versed character. The only way Spider-Man works is if you care about every single person involved. The way they're casting it, we are going to care about every single person involved. We care about these students because they're casting perfect actors. These kids might have three lines, but we're going to care about them. So if there's an assault in a classroom, we're going to be invested. The kid from Beasts of No Nation...
Abraham Atta.
Yes. Abraham Atta literally grew 10 years before our eyes in a movie. We saw this kid go from like innocent to war hardened. This kid can do so much with three lines that we'll care about him. So if he's in peril, we're going to be invested. So I think the way to do Spider-Man is to have us grow up with a new hero. And we've never done that with a movie. We've never had a boyhood saga. And I think doing that with one or two villains, each growing to Sinister Six, earning Sinister Six, earning Venom, earning Carnage.
Yeah.
We love these villains. We love these characters. And with this property, Sony can become its own entity to rival Marvel. And this is the opportunity to do that. If you do it right, you do it slow, and you make us care. That is how you build a rogues gallery, one at a time.
I completely agree. Yeah, I don't want to see Venom like right away. I just want to see like the inkling of it.
Right. Like lay the seeds, make it count. Yeah. And it's going to be beautiful because the comics are so part of pop culture. He's the most, you can see Spider-Man, you can see 30 of his villains when you name him, that you don't have to invest as much as like explaining Thor, like, how Thor works.
I'd be so happy out of Homecoming that there's not some big epic battle that he's suddenly going, you know, toe-to-toe with the Green Goblin.
Right.
I almost want to see, like a smaller time, like B or even C list villain. And I want to see those relationships grow. I want to see him in high school. I want to see him deal with those interpersonal relationships with Mary Jane, with Gwen Stacy, with you know the other Veronica that's in there, Betty and Veronica confused.
Oh, the Archie crossover with Spider-Man, very important. Very Jughead, Spider-Man. Yeah.
But and you know, because I know those characters as their older selves, and I've only gone back recently to reread them. I want to see those foundations, and honestly, I'd be okay seeing the Vulture.
Off, my three act structure for the film was to have the open be a villain that we are invested in, but we don't care about being like C list. You have the Shocker, you have Hydro Man, you have someone we're not invested in. Open with that
Mysterio.
I think he'd be a good secondary villain personally.
To see Mysterio because
you can do so much with him because it's a movie. You can go Inception, you can go Visceral, you can go Visual. You can have this feeling of unease because you're not sure what reality is. Have 3D work. Anyway, so I'd open with the one C-note villain. You show how powerful Spider-Man is. You show that he's been Spider-Man for a while. You don't have the origin. You're like, this isn't your dad's Spider-Man. This is a new thing. Then you invest in these new characters. You have them in high school. You have them see the turmoil between being in high school and being like fighting all these things. You have him not able to do his homework. You have all this happen. And then in the second act, you have maybe a love interest. Either way, you're showing how human he is. And you don't until the third act really see the plight of Spider-Man as both Peter Parker and Spider-Man because we haven't done that yet. We have characters that are unmasked
from the get. Yeah. So we need to actually show what it's like to be someone that struggles with, like, you're not sleeping because you're Spider-Man and Peter Parker. How does that work? That's how you build a three-act structure on this movie, is you have it escalate naturally, and then you can build 9 movies off it.
Yeah.
It's so awesome.
I know, and I want to see that. I want to see that friendship between him and Osborn's kid. Harry. Because I'm loving in the current run, you know, Harry turned good in the new comics,
right?
And seeing that dynamic there.
Well, they used to be bros.
I know, and they were. Like, I love their best friend. I want their friendship. I want to see that grow. I felt so shortchanged in the previous movies about all of that because I feel there wasn't a connection there.
Right.
And I want to see that struggle between them. And I want to see, you know, Brock, the jock asshole who, you know, just beats up this poor little kid. And
Brock as like a rival like photographer is beautiful. Flash Thompson as a rival Thompson is beautiful. There's so many options. And I think that with this casting, we have that option because we said they're laying the seeds, but they're literally casting 30 people. Then they're like, we've got you for 9 movies, maybe. Yeah. Like, you just go from there. And then you care about everything.
And they're all a part of that universe, and they all grow out of it, and it can get you like just hearing a name will get you excited. Like,
familiarity is beautiful.
Who was the Jackal who did the whole clone saga thing? What was his actual name?
Miles.
He was a professor, right?
Miles. Oh man, I don't know his last name. Yeah,
but you know
Miles.
What I'm talking about, right? Like what if that ends up being like Martin Starr?
Right.
You know, and like he's just like this finicky, nerdy, like science professor who like is like he's really
Miles
into
Warren,
genetics.
I think it is.
Yeah, I think so. I think you're right. Like, and then like 3 or 4 films from now, like we get the Clone Saga where he creates like one of the
and
Scarlet
that's
Spiders.
How you build,
you know?
Sony only has Spider-Man right now. That's how you build a universe to rival Marvel's by making all of these characters good enough at the offset to really want to invest in them further. I'm rereading the whole Amazing Spider-Man series right now because I want to prepare for how excited I am for this movie.
Yeah.
I'm on issue 104.
I'm in the mid 70s.
So I'm in the mid 70s right now.
I really need to do
and
that.
And the mid 70s is just like everything's groovy and like Mary Jane, Gwen Stacy, Spider-Man, Norman Osborn, they're all like hanging out at like coffee shops.
Aww.
And I want like that feeling of like young, exciting John Hughes flavor so we care. And we haven't had that yet because I love Dane DeHaan the actor.
So,
Dane DeHaan, Harry Osborn?
Yeah. So, Tom, did you have... I saw you like open your mouth like you wanted to say something.
The thing I don't want to see is the Clone Saga. Here's why. I was working at Paramount, which just had the Marvel license when that was going on.
Mm.
And I befriended one of the editors at Marvel. They had no idea where that was going. And it really felt like it. You could tell. I do really want to see... The thing that attracted me to meet a Spider-Man as a kid is he's like me. He's a kid. It says man, but he's really a teen.
Yeah.
He's a boy.
Well, it's like the joke that they did in Civil War where he's like, what are you, like Spider-Man?
Oh my gosh.
Spider-Man.
Like,
that was such a great joke.
My favorite joke from Civil War is like, hey, you guys ever see that old movie Empire Strikes Back?
Yeah.
But
it's the greatest.
Keep that sense of fun. You've got the right cast.
Yeah.
So play. I want to know who Zendaya's playing. Is she just a classmate? Or
who?
Zendaya?
Oh,
we don't know. There's so many.
My first thought was Black Cat?
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking.
Of course, that's the old trope of, the black character's got to have black in front of him.
I know, right?
I didn't even think of that. It's
I know,
so funny.
But it's such
a great opportunity, and just enjoy where you are, tell stories, and if there's demand, then spin characters up. You don't create a show thinking, oh, this is the character that's going to break out.
Yeah.
That character usually bubbles up.
Let them break out.
Yeah.
I trust them
to break out.
Marvel, we always talk about it. This is like one of those things we talk about in the show, is that they do different genres per film.
Mm-hmm.
The coolest thing about Spider-Man is he has such different villains. You can do that with just that character.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
You can have a horror movie with Venom and have it be like Geiger. I mean, you have it Alien with Venom. You have Spider-Man terrified of not only what he's becoming, but this black symbiote that stalks Aunt May and Mary Jane. That's terrifying. You have the Shocker be like a two-bit criminal. You have the criminal saga of the Hammerhead. You can have the mob movie. You can have Mysterio be a full-on epic.
I have a question.
There's so much.
What genre would Kraven fall into?
I think Kraven would be a really fun action adventure a la 80s adventure stalking hunt movies. Imagine conspiracy.
Like most dangerous game.
Imagine conspiracy theory or like the old Harrison Ford in the 80s movies or that with Kraven stalking Spider-Man. Like that was how I'd do that.
That's awesome.
I'm waiting for a Kraven movie. That's all I have to say.
I think Coy is pitching Predator the Kraven movie.
I think Coy is pitching Predator the Kraven movie.
You know what I would love to see? It would be just them to take these ingredients, because all of these characters are so incredible. I want to see them taken and put in a new story. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And that's something I think that, like, Civil War, they took the ingredients of Civil War and made it something new that, as a fan, I still didn't know what was going to happen. I was still enjoying it. So I think, like, even the Clone Saga, yeah, they didn't know what they were doing at the time. But now, just take that base idea and take the idea of, okay, well, he's a high school kid who's – what do you deal with in high school? Identity crises, or you struggle with sense of self and self-doubt. Well, what happens to your sense of identity when there's a literal clone of you running around?
Yeah, that's amazing. Yeah. As a child, we will have met him as a child, so we'll care about him. So if we're like, oh, this early 20s guy, what's that like, bro? Like, how do you deal with that part of your life?
All right, Scooby-Doo, Bennett, you had something that you wanted to throw in?
Yeah, I actually don't want Kraven right now, because I want him to be like the Kraven's last hunt when like he gets him and everything, and then he can die, and then we can have Miles Morales for like the fourth phase four, and we can have a new run. But I thought she would Zendaya, maybe she would play White Tiger instead of Black Cat.
Yeah,
that's a good guess.
That would be really
but
awesome.
I don't want him to have a team yet. I want him to be developed, have more time with him, and then we can see what was his team that he had? Like Tiger.
Are you talking about like from the cartoon?
Yeah,
the
we can
Ultimate
do that
Spider-Man
later.
Stuff?
Yeah. Yeah. Let's first get our character right.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. For 50 years, he was mostly by himself. Yeah. He joined the Avengers later, but like in the 2000s, I think Spider-Man is wholesome enough to be his own guy.
Right, yeah, that's what I want too. I want him to be by himself.
I think that's
I agree. Yes.
Whoever's going to play J. Jonah Jameson is going to have a hard time. I can't imagine anymore.
Following up J.K. Simmons.
Yes,
like,
I know.
Just him, like, I was like, oh my gosh, you're 61 years old.
Yeah, that dude.
And you look like this.
Age is a concept, man. J.K. Simmons killed it.
All right, let me throw these things out real quick, and we'll see what we want to talk about. Silver Sable film, possibility, rumored. The animated film being unlike anything else. Michael Mando, Abraham Atta. I definitely want to talk about Bokeem Woodbine, and we've also got a couple sets from the pit, or for picks from the set.
Yo, I'm just happy we got Spider-Man to talk about, because I've been on the show for 2 years. It's Spider-Man time.
Yeah, no,
yeah,
I know.
Come on,
I know.
You're
so
Deadpool
what
too, man.
I did. No, I've said it like multiple times. Like, Deadpool happened because I started not liking the Spider-Man comics.
That's true.
Like, this is like, I've waited 23 years.
When am I going to get mine? I got X-Men.
You're going to get Phoenix. You're going to get Emma. It's going to happen. It'll happen. They're going to learn. But, I mean, my boy's back. Before we tangent further,
Max Herron. Oh, Max Herron.
Max.
I love Max.
These are amazing.
Oh, Max.
I just got this. That's why I'm not wearing it, Max. I apologize. But Max Herron has his own shop that you can go buy shirts at. Do you happen to know the link?
It is tpublic.com/his name,
Max,
and we'll tweet it out.
Max
we'll tweet it out.
Herron on tpublic. Mm-hmm. He's super awesome. He's a Canadian fan of ours and friend of mine. He's super, super cool. He was on our show.
He wants to maybe have a contest of sorts to give out a free shirt, so we're going to figure that out.
Cool. But, right. I had no idea. That's
also,
all awesome. So, Max, thank you so much.
You also don't know about this.
Oh.
Wait, what is this? No.
What is this? Oh, no. Oh, I remember when Max was designing these. One match, two match.
Oh, this is the best. Oh, my God.
Dude, I am so excited to rock this all the time.
I would put this shirt on right now. It wouldn't make everybody stop watching.
Dude,
so.
I love how sneaky this is, because you have to really know the show.
My God.
I'm gonna Castle Books on the back.
I know. It's so good.
I'm going to wear this shirt. I'm going to wear that shirt every day for a week.
This is one of my new favorite shirts.
And they're nice. Aren't they great quality? Yeah.
I like it.
So I...
Max, thank you.
Spider-Man. Yeah. Thank you, bro. This is fantastic.
Yeah, Miss Spider-Man,
Max
thanks.
Max is so cool.
Max. All right, so, Coy, this being your... Look, first of all, I want to throw out Bokeem Woodbine. I want you guys to think about what Spider-Man stuff you still want to talk about. I want to say Bokeem Woodbine has possibly joined the villains list for this film. Sources say, according to the Hollywood Reporter, sources say Woodbine joins Michael Keaton and Logan Marshall Green as a villain. So that's three villains. Here's my theory. I think there's going to be one more, and I think we're going to get the Enforcers. I think they're going to be a team working with the Vulture.
That happens, and the Enforcers are often
they're more or less just like throwaway thugs. They've only appeared in a handful of comics, but most of their appearances were early on, and it seems like Marvel is doing a lot of stuff from early Spider-Man. Here's what it feels like. It feels like they're taking the Ultimate Dynamic and mixing that with the sort of like feel and villains of early Spider-Man,
which
of Ditko Spider-Man.
Yeah.
Cool.
So I think it feels like they're mixing both eras in like very specific ways. That being said, the Enforcers were all over the early comics.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And I honestly, like, if you look at Woodbine and Logan Marshall Green, I absolutely think that it could be Montana, Fancy Dan, or Ox.
I think that would be a great, like I said, for my mm-hmm. three-act structure, first villain. Like, you mm-hmm. open up with the Enforcers, him just taking out all of them,
yeah.
all the comic mm-hmm. fans, be like, that guy's got a Julio, that's clearly the Enforcers. Like, it'd be cool for yeah. us, but also the audience would get to see, like, he's taking on, like, five guys.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And that's a good lead-in to kind of introduce the larger villain of the film, if mm-hmm. it is Vulture.
Because yeah. I don't think they're doing Batman yeah. and Robin, where they're introducing five major
no.
villains.
No,
because
no,
they know
no.
better. But I also don't think they're doing Spider-Man 3. They're no. actually, I think these are going to be small villains to mm-hmm. set up for one,
yeah.
two
yeah.
big villains.
Like, I think that the two big villains will be like Michael Keaton, mm-hmm. most likely as Vulture, mm-hmm. according to the rumors.
Or Tinkerer. Mm-hmm.
Or Tinkerer.
Great as both.
But I think they're probably going to cast like a younger guy as Tinkerer. I think they're going to go in opposite direction and have like a younger kid
mm-hmm.
as Tinkerer and Michael Keaton lording over him.
Mm-hmm. Sort of. Sort of Jesse Eisenberg pulling
yeah,
the strings.
Yeah, yeah.
Don't cast Jesse Eisenberg. He's great when he's not Lex Luthor, but not Tinkerer. But I like the idea of some like young kid, like you know, San Francisco startup. That's a cool way
yeah.
to handle it.
Yeah, I think that's probably what they'll do. So that's. Okay. I'm not saying that that's what they're doing.
That's
the
just confirmed yeah. young Tinkerer.
Although the Vulture thing is fascinating when you consider that Keaton was in Birdman.
Yeah,
yeah
so,
I know.
I think just, they're doing it on purpose as a bit of a troll. Yeah, Bennett?
I agree.
Oh, you agree.
Birdman. Yeah. Just gonna, ah! He's fascinated mm-hmm. with Birdman.
All right, so
I,
both
Matt,
of you would on, yeah.
That's a really good... God, how do I want to say? Not that's a good speculation.
Thank you.
It's a very
speculation.
Good speculation.
Thank you. I think the Enforcers are great. And
I'm
going to
go report on that as truth now.
Thank you. Yeah, no, go ahead and tweet Matt
Everything
Matt
Key, Matt Key says
yeah,
is fact.
Hashtag Matt Key fact.
No. trending,
all right,
guys.
So Michael Mando is... Okay, so let's talk about this just super fast. Hollywood Reporter reported that he's joined the cast. And then Better Call Saul Twitter... tweeted out, Michael Mando is spectacular at bringing Carnage to life in Better Call Saul.
Oh, what a great way to get publicity for your show.
Yeah.
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 Which started everyone going, wait, is he Cletus Cassidy, a.k.a. Carnage?
There's no way to introduce Carnage yet.
I know, there's no way to do that, but you can introduce Cletus.
You introduce Cletus as a psycho who then goes to jail and comes back out of jail mm-hmm. two films later as
yes,
Carnage.
Yes, definitely.
I mean, I'm not ever going to be upset about that happening.
Do you not think that's going to be, like, a little bit of a watering down what the character is and, like, making him more PG-13 kind of way so it can audiences can go see it without being, like, what is going on and being, like, terrified with what the actual character is?
He needs to be set up early, but he is actually one of the characters that, and this is one of my favorite villains of all time. Carnage is one of my favorites, but he's almost one note in mm-hmm. that he loves chaos and carnage. You don't really need... He's a character mm-hmm. you can introduce and have it be, like, one scene, and then, oh, he's Carnage. You know that he's just insane. He's not like the Joker where he's multifaceted and chaos. He's just chaos.
Okay.
No offense to Carnage.
I was going to say, I wish it was kind of like the Joker.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Put him like that, and then I think audiences will fear him.
Yeah, I think they need to flesh out Carnage a lot more if they're going to introduce him. Otherwise, he's just going to become a throwaway villain.
I feel like Venom is more of his Joker because Venom is more manipulative. He's smarter. Carnage, mm-hmm. literally, when they introduced him the first time, was a Southern hick that liked killing people. That was all of his thing.
Yeah.
So that's why Venom became more interesting. Carnage came more interesting because of them together. So if you introduce Carnage without Venom, like if you introduce Venom without Spider-Man, it doesn't work.
Nope.
I like Joe Gilgun as Carnage.
Oh my God!
Right?
From Preacher.
Right.
Yeah.
Whenever Cassidy's
yeah.
I'm like, yo, Carnage.
Yeah.
That's who my fan cast is.
I know.
Yeah,
I mean, I love, like, so Better Call Saul is one of my favorite television series ever.
It's
also
awesome.
And as somebody who Breaking Bad was my favorite television mm-hmm. series,
that's
and
impressive.
Better Call Saul is better than Breaking Bad.
Wow.
In my opinion.
Wow. That's saying a lot.
Yeah, I know it is. Michael Mando, anytime he's on screen, I'm like, damn, you are just a fantastic, like, every beat, every moment, every pause. That man he makes my skin crawl in all the best ways. I don't see him doing Carnage. I see him bringing something more to the table. So I see him...
What's great about Michael Mando on Better Call Saul, mm-hmm. and I had the pleasure to meet him when he came into the AfterBuzz Studios for Better Call Saul.
That's awesome.
Yeah,
he's a super nice guy as well. But he brings an intelligence to his villainy that, like, you never question that he is always thinking through every step of what he's doing on that show. But he is ultimately a bad guy. So there's a subtlety that he has that he could really bring some amazing depth to a character.
Yeah, he would be more of a Venom than a Carnage, to be honest with you.
Carnage, once again, I love Carnage, but he's always been shown as not so intelligent, and that the Carnage symbiote took him over because it could take him over. Yeah. He's not as smart enough to outsmart the symbiote. So I feel like from what you're describing this man as, he wouldn't really fit the bill. I think Eminem is one of the smartest people in the world, but I've always seen the Detroit stereotype of that. I know he's Southern, but I've always seen that kind of 8 Mile character as my Carnage. Like, someone that's just, like, really angry, upset, and trying to deal with stuff.
That's exactly it.
But moviegoers are kind of tired of seeing, like, one-dimensional villains and not, like, going through and developing who they are in actuality.
I totally agree.
The key is going to be, take your time. You don't have to do everything in the first movie.
Yeah. Well, and that's why I'm suggesting, if he is Carnage, you introduce him as Cletus Cassidy, and all you do is have, like...
him in prison.
You know, him in prison, or him on a killing spree, and you see it on the news, and it's like... Cletus Cassidy has finally been obtained,
right?
Guys,
and is going into.
I'm sorry, if we're gonna get anyone from the Breaking Bad, Better Call Saul universe for Carnage, it's gonna be Tuco. All right.
Yeah, dude, that actor is so good.
Yeah, he is so cray cray.
And he plays a cop on Major Crime.
Yeah, really.
I need to
he's
see
a serious lead on Major Crime.
That's awesome.
But
all right, so
Tuco
let's do
for
this
Carnage.
Out. Spider-Man animated film. Do we want to talk about that? Do we want to? Oh. Real quick, Abraham Atta has joined the cast. We had Otto Kobler at Otto Juan Knobler asked, everybody's talking about Miles Morales for Abraham Atta, but what if he's Eli Bradley, a.k.a. the Patriot?
If they do a Young Avengers, he'd be perfect.
Yeah.
If they go Young Avengers,
but that would be pretty cool, right?
He's considered a Cap family character, so he wouldn't be doing Spider-Man. He wouldn't be
If they, like, they're sharing licenses, it's possible.
I
don't think Marvel Studios would do that.
No.
Plus, you have to establish that whole backstory.
Yeah. Very fair.
Steve Rogers wasn't the first person to have the Super Soldier Serum.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, that's true.
That's a lot of deep cuts.
That
that puts too much trust in Sony's camp to introduce a major Marvel character.
Fair enough.
This is a new relationship.
Once
again,
we're not going fast here yet.
It's a testament to how much people love Miles that every single actor that's been cast, like, maybe it's Miles Morales.
Listen, I'm all about the Donald Glover Atta, like, speculations that are going around the internet.
I love that Donald created Miles, and then Miles is now, like, people are like, everybody might be like Marissa Tomei. Maybe that's Miles Morales.
Speaking of, I completely missed this when we were talking about Spider-Man a couple weeks ago with Donald Glover. Hollywood Reporter, and like one of their like top five people who Donald Glover could be, suggested that he could be Hobie Brown, who goes on to become the Prowler.
That would be amazing because people are suggesting villain. Maybe
I completely didn't even think about that, and I was like going back as I was preparing the rundown for today. I saw that, I was like, whoa, that would be. That would also be awesome.
Am I blanking on... it's in the new Spider-Man... He's in the new Spider-Man comics. He's working at Parker Industries. He's a former villain.
Oh, the vibrating guy or whatever.
Yeah.
I don't know. Wait, Dan Slott's run hurts me as a person. I try not to think about it.
I personally don't want Miles Morales because I want to get my spider right first.
Yeah.
A good spider. Mm-hmm. And then, you know what? We can expand the universe. Have more characters.
Yeah,
like, so everybody can have so much fun. We don't have like, oh, let's have a black superhero because we need to have a black superhero. No, we need to have a good hero first, and then we can have more of those black heroes or female versions.
You're my hero. Thank you for saying that. That's been bothering.
Miles Morales is like, he's a legacy character. So like, establish the legacy and then bring Miles Morales.
Yeah, Peter needs to be, like, we need to have our trust earned in Peter and Miles does need
to
be
earned. And the universe built.
Because that's what the comics did. They got you interested in Spider-Man.
Yeah, what if Robin is in the first Batman movie just because? Like, that's what this is. Like, they don't just introduce Robin right after his parents get shot.
No, it took a long time to get there, and we need to do that in the movie.
So let's take a quick look at the pics from set before we move on.
Okay.
A couple, just real quick. Mm-hmm. We saw Martin Starr and Kenneth Choi and Laura Harrier and Abraham Atta. So here's Kenneth Choi on set.
He's so happy.
I know. He looks so happy.
I mean, he's on the set of Spider-Man. Yeah. Like, so, he's
in the office.
Yeah. But he looks like a principal.
Yeah.
I think. Or like an administration.
Yeah,
or
a teacher.
But I'm calling administration. Here's Abraham Atta on set. I don't know what he's holding. It's
a phone.
I think it's a bow tie.
Maybe it's a tie. Oh, yeah, yeah, I think it might be a tie.
Oh, yeah, it looks like he's tying.
Oh, yeah, he's holding a tie.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it's left it's hand. It's a purple and white striped tie.
Purple and white? Oh, no. Oh, what could it mean?
He's Ravenclaw. So we got a picture of Peter Parker wearing a backpack. I'm just like, yay, Peter Parker wearing a backpack. Yay, he's at school. Yay. What just happened? He's holding the script. Oh, we'll never know until next year.
Somebody zoom in and enhance on that script.
Enhance. Perfect resolution. Can we take a look at Martin Starr? This is my favorite picture from the whole bit. Because he looks like a downtrodden chemistry professor.
Yes, he does.
Oh, my God.
Right, like,
here's your lizard right here, guys.
Oh, my God. He's Kurt Connors, like...
Dude, I just love...
That's it. I'm sorry.
This is Deadpool all over again for me. Just the idea of people walking around in ties. I might run into this guy in, like, Hillhurst, but, like, dude, you're in Spider-Man.
He legitimately looks like my chemistry professor. High school, yeah. Except my chemistry professor had, like, super long hair.
See, when I think of the lizard, I just think of this poor, sad, like, overworked, underpaid teacher who's just like, I'm done with everything. I hate all these students. Yeah. I hate life. I'm going to experiment on myself and destroy
Martin them. Starr could nail that version.
Yeah. Yeah.
How cool is it? We have so many villains that we're literally like, oh, they've done five movies and, like, seven villains, but we got more. Yeah. Like, we don't have to go back to that. It's so good.
Yeah.
Every day is Christmas. Everyone should have every day be Christmas. Mm-hmm. It's a great way to live.
Koi calls it Koimus.
Koimus every day, 365.
Did they do the lizard in one of the Spider-Man movies?
Yeah, Amazing Spider-Man.
I watched that one.
Oh, you're yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it did not work. Yeah. And poor what's his name? The actor that played him in Dylan.
Risa Finn.
Yeah, like in the first movies. The first films, the Sam Raimi ones. Mm-hmm. That actor that was Kurt Connors,
I'm
gonna be the lizard. Yeah. And then the third movie, they're like, nah. Not gonna happen.
Who was that?
He's a great actor. I forget his name because it was in the 90s and I was young.
See, I have this whole rule. Like, everyone's like, oh, Meredith, you work in pop culture news. You have to see everything. I'm like, no, I don't. Like, nobody pays me to go see these movies. And it's not my job to go see them. If I don't want to watch them, I'm not going to. Sorry, guys. I didn't watch that last Spider-Man Amazing 2. And guess what? I still haven't seen Apocalypse.
Whoa! See, I'm in the other end of the spectrum, but only out of, like, I like to compare. I try to see literally every single wide release,
I have it a way to.
Like, I'm going to see Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles 2 tonight, because I have time. Yeah.
Here's the other thing, too. I'm really effing busy, because I also work in this industry, and unfortunately, the only, comic book entertainment stuff I get to do is in conjunction with the show. Mm-hmm. I'm writing and producing, like, technology and video games and weird stuff for geek.com, and now that I'm hosting full-time and producing full-time and working 12 to 13 hours a day, I would love to have time to go see movies. Mm-hmm. I just haven't.
Get a meth habit.
If somebody wants to pay me to go see a movie to write about it, I will also do that, but right now I don't have time.
Matt Key confirms Koi's meth habit.
Yeah.
I haven't seen Apocalypse, but
I don't feel bad about it. Everyone says. It's just not a good film.
Let's jump over to
speaking of
the Marvel and Fox working together rumor that so I was on Collider with John Schnepp last week and a fan asked what would it take to get an X-Men movie with the original cast, and my answer was it would take Marvel jumping in. My little birds have told me it was a specific reference, that they've been talking, but that absolutely doesn't mean anything. I have no idea what the degree to those talks are. Apparently because I produce with Kevin Smith and I have this Marvel show, the internet
exploded.
I see. Hold up.
Hold on.
I'm taking the onus off of you. You didn't do anything wrong. You just said what you wanted. You just speculated on something, and the internet at large jumped on this train.
I get why the internet jumped on it. I don't blame them for jumping on it. I would have been what did that guy just say? That's kind of awesome. Because I think everybody wants to see Marvel and Fox teaming up. Everyone wants to see Fox admit what Sony did. They do it better. They know what they're doing. Fox will never admit that. At least I don't think
never, they will ever, that. Ever.
I do have a couple sources who have said that Marvel and Fox have talked. As far as I know, those are it's just the executives tracing their middle fingers. I don't know. But I've heard rumblings of talks. That doesn't mean have talked.
It doesn't mean
it
shit.
It doesn't mean that they've done that there have been specific talks. Yeah.
All of us in this industry have sources. I had sources that confirmed that Cap died at the end of Civil War. They didn't. They changed the script and they shot different endings. That's the ending that we got a different ending.
Yeah. Like, so take what I said with a grain of salt.
Do you guys remember the cookie diet? When people were saying, like, if you eat chocolate chip cookies and blah, 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 you can get healthy.
No.
This is the cookie diet.
Okay,
this
hold
is
up.
Like, I want to hear this news. Let's eat cookies.
Hold up. I just want to say something about, like, internet journalism at large. Like, and you hit the nail on the head, is that people are so excited and they want this to happen. I want this to happen, as evident by the fact that I haven't seen the latest X-Men movie, because not because it's a bad X-Men movie, it's simply just a bad movie from what I hear. But for FFS, as they say in the shorthand world on the internet, guys, you know, not every speculation is truth and not every speculation should be reported as truth. And I saw this whole Marvel Fox News pop up on every other pop culture journalism site on the web. And I clicked on it and I was like, where is this coming from? What is this? Like, I haven't heard hide or hair of this from my sources at any of the studios. Mm-hmm. And it's funny now to see it's traced back to this guy.
Yeah.
It upsets me and it disappoints me as a journalist, as somebody who's worked in the journalism field since 1999. And I'm not saying you have to go to school for this. I'm not saying you have to have Emmys for this. I'm not saying you've had to work in a real newsroom to understand the ethics of journalism. But for God's sakes, guys, you know, just freaking check some sources and stop reporting this stuff as truth. Like, that's all I'm asking. That's all I'm freaking asking.
They all just did a lot wrong. They did a lot wrong.
I know.
The whole internet, it just did a lot
God,
wrong.
I'm like, I want this to be as true as anyone else, but like, I saw
it
this.
Skip it.
Everyone forgot rule number one.
With great power.
Exactly.
Responsibility.
I'm allowed to bitch about this because this is what people expect from me, and I'm allowed to hold my fellow pop culture journalists to a higher standard.
I don't disagree.
So,
I don't disagree with you, but we're 42 minutes in. We need to move on.
Shame, and then we can
shame.
Move on.
Shame.
What?
I said this is like what the internet does.
It is what the internet does. Be better, guys.
I agree. Thank you, Meredith. But yeah, like, they took it and ran. I apologize that... I have heard that thing. I've heard it,
yeah.
But I have no idea what the context of it is. So let's all just calm down. Let's just calm down, internet. It's not a truth yet. Ant-Man and the Wasp.
Woo!
Wasp is not a supporting character.
Did anyone think she was?
I don't know.
Her name's in the title of the movie.
I know. Right? I know. But Peyton Reed, speaking to Modern Myth Media, before he won, by the way, a Saturn for Best Comic to Film Motion Picture earlier this week, on the red carpet, he spoke to Modern Myth Media, and he said, for me as a comic nerd, I always thought of Ant-Man and the Wasp as a team, and that's a lot of what the second movie is really about, is how they work together, what their personal and professional relationships are like. To show her finally fully formed in this movie is really exciting. We really get to introduce this character into that universe. I mean, we've introduced the character, but we haven't seen her with her full power set and everything, so to me, she's not in a supporting character in this movie. It's every bit as much her movie as it is Scott Lang.
Hey guys, yay. Just in case you had any doubt, really, Marvel does have female characters are putting in the spotlight. Promise you, here you go.
Doom is so excited.
I know.
Well, yeah, I mean, you are excited, Doom. You love your Ant-Man.
She should be the main character. She was like one of the first founding members of the Avengers.
Yeah.
You need to have her.
Exactly.
I feel like they're going to, like, in the part two and part one, they're going to have the final Avengers, and she's going to be like one of the people in it. Like,
yeah.
Infinity Wars?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I'm going to say Avengers Assemble.
Yeah. Oh, it's going to be the best, and she'll say it. Oh.
Danny BR Reviews said, Ant-Man is Wasp's sidekick.
It's true. Accurate.
Especially when they set him up in the movie. Paul Rudd was very much her sidekick throughout the film, and they just kind of mishandled that. And I think Ant-Man's a really fun movie, but I think that's one of the things, that's one of the first things I felt like Marvel did wrong that I was affected by when I left the theater. That was one of the few things, when I usually leave a movie and I'm like, Marvel does everything right, and that's my hard bias. But when I left that, I was like, they really could have used that more. Like, they really could have leveraged that. So I'm excited for this one being them both top build, them both side to side on the title. Like, I'm really thinking they're going to learn from that mistake.
You know, we know that Ant-Man suffered it suffered from some production problems, mm-hmm. and you know, I think the movie was the best it could have been given all the issues that script and rewriting and film had. So,
but it was still a lot of fun.
It was still a lot of fun.
Yeah, it was a great movie.
Those Burglars 3 had me cracking up.
I know. Oh my god. I know.
The whistling.
I just want more Luis. In fact, can it just be Luis, like Wasp and Luis?
From what I'm reading, they're bringing the supporting cast.
Oh
back
yeah, they
into
are.
The
oh
good.
Yeah,
that's what I've read too. Mm-hmm. Let's jump over to Thor Ragnarok real quick and see a couple pics of the set being built.
You mean Ego's head? What? Yeah,
God, I want Ego in this movie so bad. Shooting starts July 4th and is taking place on Village Roadshow Studios in Oxenford. And this is what the set looks like so far.
That's so beautiful.
Yeah.
Hey, I have a legit question. Sure. I wonder how the Brexit vote is going to actually affect like shooting in England, if at all. Like, I don't. Oh, they are Australia.
Yeah, this is in Australia.
Ignore me. I don't know what I'm talking about. Never mind.
But Marvel does shoot a lot in Europe.
Yeah.
And
stuff. Yeah.
It's going to disrupt a lot of things across the nation. Not immediately, and I think any deals that are in place standing. But as far as Marvel moving forward, they may have to shift away from shooting in Europe, is what I've been seeing in the press.
Yeah, I've read the same. All right, skibbity-bopping on. Deadpool 2 is shooting early next year. Simon Kinberg, the producer of the films, talking to Collider, said the guys, the screenwriters, Paul Wernick and Rhett Reese, are working on the script, and we hope to have a script very soon. We hope to shoot the movie sometime in the beginning of next year.
Oh my god, oh my god, oh my god.
So that would be 2017, most likely for what, like a 2018 release?
Yeah, almost guaranteed. Like it's a 2-year turnaround.
February 2018.
They're probably going for the same market. And it made so much money, they might make it a summer movie, but I think it'd be smarter for them to
own your entire, because the reason
it did so well was word of mouth, and then people coming in second weekend, third weekend. Like, it did amazing first weekend, but then it held on. Yeah. I think having spring have that open field and be like, this is ours now.
Yeah, all right, skibbity-bop. Daredevil wins Best New Media TV Series at the Saturn Awards. It won for the first season, not for the second season. Yeah, it's like,
All right.
Cool.
The Saturns must be every 5 years or something. I don't know.
It's like the Olympics.
It's like the rotation around the sun or something.
We'll get back to it.
Yeah.
But they won this week, as did, you know, like we just said, Ant-Man, which is exciting. Good on you, Marvel. Iron Fist. Finn Jones talked about the Iron Fist Danny Rand this week to Entertainment Weekly. They were talking to him about Game of Thrones spoilers that we're not going to cover on the show. I know. Oh, it was good. It was a good episode. I liked it. He said of Danny Rand, I love the character. What really drew me was the character and the story. I really enjoy how he's a superhero with a real heart but has spiritual elements as well. I think it's going to be an exciting character to play because there's this contraction of, on one hand, he's from a very wealthy family. He's a billionaire. On the other hand, he's been in this world of Kunlun for a long time where he's learned Kung Fu and Buddhist philosophy. There's a contradiction in those elements. It's going to be really fun to play. So it's all stuff that we've kind of heard before, just reiterating.
It's cool to hear from the man himself.
Yeah.
It is. You know, just to hear a major Hollywood star who's very much in the spotlight say the words Kunlun. I think that proves that we've made it.
Yeah, no, that's pretty rad.
Yeah. All right. So, big Doctor Strange stuff.
That's where to go.
No, it's actually not. I'm going to cover it very quickly. But let's go to the Punisher real quick. Mm-hmm. Bernthal says that we haven't seen the Punisher
yet. Dude, that quote is so good.
Right? I love it. Like what an actor that he's like, no, here's the motivation. Oh, that's a cool shirt. I haven't even noticed that.
I know.
Did you make that?
Well, I made it.
That's really cool.
Well, my best friend designed it, and I had a friend back in Atlanta print it for me. And it's based on a shirt that Emma Frost wears in an issue of Uncanny X-Men.
So that's awesome. While we're talking Punisher.
Yeah, while we're talking Punisher.
Appropriately clad.
My shirt's not going to stay. Bernthal was talking to Awards Daily TV about Frank Castle in Daredevil 2 versus his series. And he said, when you're talking about characters like these, the way they fight, what's motivating the fight is very important. Beating someone up to drag them into jail is different than someone who is exercising his rage on people. The Frank Castle you find in this story is not the Punisher.
Oh.
So in Daredevil 2, it was a vendetta.
Mm-hmm.
In his series, it's a mission. And I think that's a very, like, it's so nuanced. But knowing that he knows that nuance, like, getting that he gets that.
Yeah.
Like, speaks volumes about him as a performer, what he can bring to it, and what we can expect from his series.
When I interviewed him at Emerald City, I mean, just sitting down with one, he's a super intense man, but two, just like, you know, hearing him talk about the acting process, he looks at it and comes from it from such a different level than, to be honest, a lot of other actors I've spoken with from the action world. Like, he really just gets so deep and involved with these characters, and he lives them. And I am so team Bernthal.
Yeah, like, oh, absolutely.
He's fantastic.
He's not avenging anything now. Yeah. He's not going... burned that house down. That symbolism of where he is. Like, Punisher is now a new man, and I'm really excited. I'm really excited that he's this far away from filming it, and he's already in that headspace preparing. And his Conan interview talking about how he's in a really dark place, had to isolate himself. I love that he just takes it as, like you're saying, as seriously as he does, and that going forward, we're going to see another... bigger layer of Punisher.
Yeah. So awesome. So awesome.
So excited.
Sorry, let's jump over to Doctor Strange very quickly. Benedict Wong talks about Wong because it's so funny that we've got two Benedicts and an actor playing a character he's also named. That's Benedict Wong.
The ADs must be very confused.
Yeah. Benedict. We need Benedict to set. Which one?
B-dubs.
Bring Wong.
That's
easy. They just say bring Wong.
Exactly.
They're right no matter what they say. they're right, not Wong.
Are we allowed two Wongs in one episode? That's the question. Is there a quota?
Is it possible that two Wongs make it right? All right, Benedict Wong talking about Wong. He says, I'm certainly not going to be the tea-making manservant that we see typically in Doctor Strange comics. We're heading in a different direction. He's more of a drill sergeant. He goes on to say, there isn't any martial arts for Wong and Doctor Strange, actually. He's more of a drill sergeant to Kamar Taj. He's one of the masters of sorcery. That is a completely different role for Wong. I think maybe in Doctor Strange Season 1, it's a small little one-off that they did a couple years ago, Wong had a little bit more of that role. He was like he helped the Ancient One train, but he was sort of like a teacher's assistant in that series.
A TA.
He was a TA.
Hope they don't do that to him. That sounds pretty rough as far as things go.
But in this, it sounds like he's going to actually be training Doctor Strange to be a badass sorcerer, as well as being a badass
that
himself.
Makes more sense casting-wise. That's such a good actor that you'd be wasting him to be like, I brought your coffee, sir.
Well, and I don't think that they were... I didn't think they were ever going to do that, but, like, in the comics, Wong is that, plus he's a martial arts, like,
and it makes
expert,
him better than a manservant.
Right, well, they wrote it in a different time. Like,
I know.
That was a
very different time.
And that also will give us a... that sheds a lot better light on what... on the... What's her name? I'm blanking on her name.
Tilda Swinton's
role. Yeah, that she probably won't be training him. That she's just going to be this like larger than life entity.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I think it's shaping up to be really good. And maybe the internet, as usual, jumped the gun.
This just in: Matt Key confirms Benedict Wong is Fing Fang Foom.
What? I didn't even say that.
I heard that too.
No, you did it, Doom. Stop it.
Confirm my Doom. Motion pass.
Motion pass. Are we in assembly now?
This is how Marvel does news.
By the way, I just want to throw out: this is the first time I've heard, like, going along with the Finn Jones saying Kun Loon. The fact that we just heard Benedict Wong say Kamar Taj, just like, this is where we live. This is our time. This is amazing. Like,
by the hoary host of Hogan.
Thank you, Drew. Also, speaking about a sequel, they said, hey, is there talk of a sequel? And he said, that would be nice. No, we'll start off with this one first. I'm just happy. I'm happy nearly competing in Doctor Strange. I'm very excited to see what happens.
Aww.
So he would be happy to do it. This is spoiler alert on this next bit. It's Legos, and we know what Legos are.
Spoiler alert!
God.
So spoiler alert!
Legos do ruin everything.
Spoiler alert! Thank you.
Spoiler alert!
Skibidi Bob on the lights. All right. There's a Lego
Did we
set.
Just get set
I
on
think
fire?
Maybe we've seen it before, but they've actually released the copy for it now, and the copy says. All right, spoiler.
I don't want to know this. I'm going to close my ears.
Wait, what is it for?
It's for Doctor Strange.
Doctor Strange. I'm going to close my ears.
All right. Team up and expel the portal beast from Doctor Strange's mysterious headquarters with some super heroic supernatural action. Fend it off with Doctor Strange's mystical artifacts and evade being captured by the portal beast tentacles using the Cape of Levitation. Send in Karl Mordo to battle this beast with his quarterstaff and help the Ancient One strike the powerful magical fans at her fingertips. All right, so first of all, they called it the Cape of Levitation. Legos, it's the Cloak of Levitation.
Oh, they
freaking Legos.
Wow.
Someone's fired.
But it is fun to see Karl Mordo apparently has a quarterstaff, and the Ancient One apparently fights with mystical magical fans, which I think is cool.
Yeah.
We also see there that a portal beast is in the Sanctum Sanctorum. Whether that's in the film, I don't know. It probably is.
Tentacles, guys, tentacles.
Tentacles make sense with Doctor Strange because we've seen but hopefully that's not what they're doing here.
Just saying.
Please don't do that. Interesting. They get it right further down in the copy. They say accessory elements include Doctor Strange's cloak of levitation. Thank you. And magical power elements with eldritch calligraphy markings, whatever that means.
Cthulhu.
So there's that. That's exciting. Mm-hmm. Now we're going to turn over to the Merry Marvelites.
Yay!
We have so many questions.
Oh my gosh.
I'm just
going
to pick at random here. Michael Benson at MikeTheBeast92. Out of Blade, Moon Knight, and Ghost Rider, which do you think has the best chance of becoming a Netflix series? Meredith, do you have any opinions on that?
I've wanted Moon Knight forever. I don't know if that's the best chance. That's just personal preference. I want Moon Knight. As for best chance, Ghost Rider. But I want Moon Knight.
Tom?
I think Moon Knight would be the most interesting.
Yeah?
Mm-hmm.
Bennett, do you have an opinion?
I was going to say Ghost Rider, but I feel like the CGI... It could be tricky for Netflix, right?
Yeah. That's my opinion,
I'll say Moon Knight because it's not... He's kind of like the Batman of Marvel, and we don't want him to compete with the big on-screen Batman, so we want him to like just be for the people who actually know who he is and will understand who that character is, and they would have more fun with it.
I feel seconding that, Moon Knight is the best for the show because he needs 13 hours to grow, and they've shown they can make obscure characters work, whereas in a film you only have 2 hours in the TV, it might be tricky to... but I also think that Blade's going to be the cheapest. I think it's going to be the least expensive to do, and we've already been established with Blade, so he'd be the most accessible. Oh, yeah. But Ghost Rider had that tease at Comic-Con, which the chains...
No, that's
not Ghost Rider.
I think that's from Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Yeah, it's Hellfire.
Sorry, I don't watch it. But I think Blade is the cheapest, but I think Moon Knight is the most original, and I have faith that they'll go more original than focusing on money, and I think Moon Knight is the one.
I think, plus, we've seen a Blade TV show fairly recently, which flamed out after one season.
Wait, did it really? There was a Blade TV show?
Yeah.
With rapper Sticky Fingers.
And Jeff Johns was on the writing staff.
I do not remember that.
It's best you don't.
Yeah, it's okay.
Nobody remembers it.
But man, Wesley Snipes wants to be Blade back so bad.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, is he going to be out of jail?
Yeah.
I think he made it. I think he got it.
I also think that they're going to... I think that Blade is a very strong possibility. We've heard Snipes talking about it, whether he's... But I do think that, I mean, there's a comic book coming out, isn't there, with Blade's daughter? Like, I think that would be an actually really cool series.
I feel like
really
that
cool
might
series.
Be a twist they might do.
Yeah, I think that would be a really cool series.
He's the mentor.
Yeah,
I stand by my Mark Spector backdoor pilot in Jessica Jones season 2.
I love that idea so much.
Oh, great idea.
I also think if we do see Ghost Riders, it's going to be in the context of the Midnight Suns, and I don't think it's going to be a series. I think it's going to be a Netflix movie. And I think it'll come after Doctor Strange. That's speculation. I am not saying that is definitely what is happening.
The movie idea is a great way to go, though, because Netflix has the money to do a 2-hour crazy blockbuster style feature.
Exactly. And that's, I think, what it would take to do Ghost Rider.
Dude, if Netflix starts doing that with some of the Marvel stuff, that will be awesome.
Mm-hmm. Ugh, I would love
just
that.
Say.
Yes, Bennett.
I went to the movie theaters to watch Finding Dory, and then I saw the Doctor Strange poster, and it said November. I was like, what? That far away? Yeah. I thought I was going to get it like in August. I was like, oh my God.
You got to wait.
No.
You got to wait.
We just had Civil War in May.
I'm spoiled.
Yeah.
I need to see it. Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
I'm 37 and I've been waiting since I was younger than you for a Doctor Strange film.
But
so
I was out at dinner with friends last night. We were talking about that when we were younger, time went so much slower. When you're older,
it goes so fast for me.
You've only had less days than us, so each day is longer. Every day you get, the
Bingo.
Next day is slower. It's just perspective.
Yeah. Listen to the old people, Ben Agreed.
It's terrifying.
All right,
relativity.
So, enjoy it because when you're our age,
I want my X-Men. Astonishing X-Men. Joss Whedon, do it, please.
Thank you.
I would
praise you. That's all I want, too.
So, Jeffy Jacob, he actually asked a question that I liked.
As opposed to all the other questions.
That came out wrong. Like, I liked in terms of, like, oh, my God, I actually, like, I had to think about it a lot. Like typically, I'm like, oh, it's this. Like, I have an answer pretty set.
This just in, Matt Key humble brag.
That is not what I think. Stop it. Jeffy Jacob at Jeffy Jacob said, a new fan, so a Doctor Strange question. Which hero in the MCU is like the best buddy to Doctor Strange?
Spider-Man.
They homies?
I mean, they're homies, but like Benedict Cumberbatch
Doctor Strange.
Oh, right. And oh, Tom Holland yeah, Spider-Man.
Like, and Tom Holland Spider-Man. Like, so, like, I don't...
Iron Man?
It's hard because we haven't really seen...
there's no way.
Like, we haven't really seen him yet. Like, it's hard for me to make
a comic book accurate Reed Richards?
Oh!
That would be, like, they would be a best friend.
God, yeah. No, I don't... No! No, I hate Reed Richards. No!
Me too. He's
I don't
like Cyclops Reed Richards, or Reed Richards. Cyclops makes me angry.
You are such a... I love you. You're me at my age. God, who would you pick?
I don't know. That's the thing. I don't know. Like, I've gone back and forth. I think I answered him. I don't even remember what my answer was.
I was like, going to say Spider-Man because I thought... I know, but, like, I thought... Who's the villain in Doctor Strange?
Baron Mordo? No, Dormammu? No. Are you mean in the current film as
rumored?
Who's
the actor who played...
Mads Mikkelsen?
Yeah. I thought he would be Nightmare because he's Hannibal Lecter. Like, oh, they could jump into universes and, like, have nightmares. And he's like, Doctor Strange, I don't know how to fix this. Come and help me, buddy. And I was like, this can work.
Like, but I don't think
you know,
that...
You know who actually would probably get along well with Doctor Strange right now? T'Challa. They're both looking at very worldwide views and like very cultural takes. I think they would get along well.
They're both the wise men.
I remember the answer that I gave. Real quick. Ant-Man. Not because of Scott Lang and Benedict Cumberbatch getting along character like personality-wise. I think Scott Lang would drive Doctor Strange bonkers.
Yeah.
But they both have a common reference with the quantum world. It's both they both have this common thing, this thing in common that no one else could possibly get. And I think that they could connect on that level and maybe Hank Pym. So that's where I'm going to take it.
Pym would be in on that.
Yeah. Anyway,
I was just going to say I would like to see from the comics a little bit of crossover. I'd really like to see Doctor Strange and Scarlet Witch become best pals.
That'd make more sense to me. Scarlet Witch, the magic tie-in.
I get like the Civil War like ending that I wanted. Yeah. The after credits scene was Wanda showing up at the Sanctum Sanctorum and Doctor Strange being, oh yes, Wanda, I've been expecting you.
I would almost like to see it start as like a mentor and student sort of relationship, but as she grows, like, you know, there is like a budding relationship because she never really had a father
like
figure.
Like Colossus' sister in the comics.
Yeah, exactly. Like I think that would be really sweet, actually.
He would go well with T'Challa because T'Challa was like, I'm gonna do it my way and everything has to be my way, and that's how Doctor Strange is in the comics. He's like, I am the best and I'm gonna do it the way I want, and I think T'Challa just learned his lesson and Doctor Strange is now learning his. I think they would just go
At Option Zero asks, how many dozen episodes should Michael Sapochnik direct for Marvel and Netflix? So first of all, he's rumored to be directing on IMDb. He's rumored to be directing an episode of Iron Fist. Miguel, by the way, is the one who directed the last two episodes of Game of Thrones, and like everyone's like losing their minds over it.
Oh yeah. Because an episode of Miguel.
Oh my god, those were two of the best ones out there. So like, and right now on IMDb, he's listed as having an Iron Fist episode. So this. At Option Zero, JDM is asking, like, how many dozen episodes should... And I agree. He should direct the entire series.
Yeah.
let's see. Chris, at Tybalt262 says, do you think Marvel is stockpiling news and big announcements leading up to SDCC? Yes.
Yes. Absolutely. Yeah. They're back. I'm excited.
Yeah.
They're going to be back. They're probably going to have the entire Guardians cast. They're probably going to have as much of the Doctor Strange cast as they can have, especially because both of those are done filming now.
Luke Cage, it sounds like.
Oh, yeah, Luke Cage.
Sweet Christmas.
Sweet Christmas. Just announced today on, I saw it on Deadline, is that...
Luke Cage, they're going to possibly be premiering an episode or
probably
some,
the
there's
going to
be something...
Premiere. I know that they did that with Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. They showed the pilot for that.
There's going to be something, some Luke Cage of some capacity at San Diego.
And Mike Coulter will be there as well as a showrunner, Chio Hodari Coker, and co-star Alfre Woodard.
There's a little pee coming out of me right
there,
now.
Yeah. There should be. That's going on. Let's see.
Tybalt262 asked me to fan cast Fantastic Four, and I did. So
I did it while
we were doing the show. I've been thinking, I've been gestating over it. My picks are Zac Efron for Human Torch, because I've been pushing Zac Efron in the Marvel Universe a long time, and I think he'd be perfect. He's got the charm, he's got the spunkiness, he's a little sarcastic, he'd be great. What else did I write down? I think Joel Edgerton is the Thing. Joel Edgerton has been killing it as both.
Oh,
right?
Yeah.
Imagine he'd be a great Ben Grimm. him and the Thing. His voice would be perfect. He's got the masculinity, he's got the strength, but he's also got the sensitivity to have, you know, baby blue eyes. I think he's a really sensitive, strong man, and that's a hard thing to find. Billy Crudup is my Mr. Fantastic. I think Billy Crudup is an incredibly smart actor that comes across as intelligent without being too overbearing. I think he's been working a long time and deserves to be a superhero. Mm-hmm. And finally, I think either Diane Kruger or Sienna Miller as Sue Storm. They're both the right age for Billy Crudup. They're both on the older side of the young side of, like, leading a superhero franchise. They're both, like, a little younger than Downey Jr., so they'd be able to go a little farther, but they need to be age-appropriate for the version of the Fantastic Four that I think we deserve, and I don't want to see an origin story again where they just make an ultimate and everything. I want to see them firmly established. I want to see them as Marvel's first family. I want to see them with a kid, so Billy Crudup and Sienna Miller, I think, would work for that. Joel Edgerton is the same age, and then Zac Efron being the younger brother making the dynamic work is my Fantastic Four.
Wow.
Nice.
I feel like they're going to Phase Four just be Fantastic Four. They're like, hey guys, Phase
Fantastic Four.
From your lips to God's ears.
Oh my God.
Phase Fantastic Four.
Let's see. Iran Quiano at NARC89 says, if you could attend any Marvel character's bachelor party, who would it be?
Tony Stark.
Deadpool.
I don't think you want to go.
It would be all the miscreants and the worst people, and it'd be so interesting and entertaining. And he's married to the Queen of Hell. I'd get to meet demons and bro out with, like, the dark side.
Is that really
what you want to do?
If I was guaranteed to survive, I mean, okay, if not, then Spider-Man, because he's got a bunch of cool homies. Like, all Spider-Man's friends are great.
I feel like all he would do is just do chemistry homework or something.
I know,
kind of
right?
Thing.
Spider-Man?
Yeah.
But he's
present.
I don't think he'd be present.
Harry Osborn, Flash Thompson.
T'Challa.
Because
he marries Storm.
Yeah.
So you get your intercompany crossover, and he's freaking rich.
That's
going to be awesome.
You'd get to go to Wakanda. Wakanda.
This is the most technologically advanced.
Come to beautiful Wakanda.
I would be down with that. No, I initially said Tony Stark just because I was thinking it would be the most opulent. No, you know, I would still go for Tony Stark because it would be the most opulent, over-the-top, like, Hollywood Hills, like...
I love this question.
Out of the... Like, I would never experience anything like it in my life outside of Tony Stark's bachelor party.
I think I would probably
say Stark, too. Yeah.
You guys are saying the Spider-Man science party is a bad thing. Oh. I want to go to that bachelor party. That sounds like a great night.
Dooms in for science party.
Spider-Man would, like, ditch out on half his bachelor party because he had to go save the world.
Star-Lord's bachelor party would be pretty
off the hook.
The music would
be
the best.
Would be amazing.
Yeah.
I think this is all pretty indicative of our personality types. I think it's really interesting how this question brings out. You're like, I want it really fancy and opulent. You're like, I really want the culture of Wakanda. And I'm like, yo, demons.
I want
what? So what, but what does it say about
that
me?
That means you
want to
go,
like,
party in the head of a freaking...
I want a weird
alien system.
In nowhere.
Bennett, do you have a bachelor party you want to attend?
I would go with Wolverine because I think it would be like hunting, like.
So you want to go hunting for a bachelor party? Yeah. That's amazing.
Why does it have to be a bachelor party? Can we pick?
It can be a bachelorette party.
Okay,
sure.
Because I would throw Stark out the window for an instant if I could go have a bachelorette party with. Oh God, let me think. Not Medusa because she's too uptight.
but like in Adelan though, like
I know
a bachelor party for Crystal.
Oh, but no, because she'd marry the Human Torch. That would be unfortunate.
Yeah, screw Johnny's store.
No, I would totally attend the... Well, no, I would actually... Then I would actually double up, and then I would attend Storm's bachelorette party.
Yeah, I've always been jealous that Storm is from Kenya.
Yeah.
Ethiopia. I'm just like... If you just moved one up, I could just be you.
Actually, screw that.
Still be
guys,
there.
Let's be honest. I would be at Emma Frost's bachelorette party.
Oh my God.
Because it would be opulent and strange. I'd get the best of both worlds.
This is a great first date question.
I know.
Anyone out there meeting any girls on Tinder, be like, yo, who's your bachelor or bachelorette party?
For a superhero.
That's fair.
Oh, we should also do shout outs soon.
Quiano, everyone, at NARC.
That's the one we just asked.
89. No, I know.
Oh, yeah.
I'm telling our fans. Oh, yeah. Tweet Iran who your bachelor party would
and
be.
Tweet
and
tweet us. I want to know.
Yeah. So let's jump over to shout outs real quick. Again, Max Heron, thank you.
Dude.
For the shirt.
We love you, Max.
That's awesome. We've also got, let's see. My name is Mr. Blake Carter. Thanks, I have been a longtime follower and have finally gotten Tuesdays off and can't wait to nerd out with you.
Aww. He's been in the live chat. He's with us.
Yeah, great. Mr. Blake Carter! Also, Charles Leroy Smith says, may the Vishante continue to find At the Met Key worthy after that great panel discussion on Collider Heroes. I had to include him because he said Vishante.
Hey, no, that's awesome.
Totally fair.
Totally fair, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, he said Vishante. Anyone who says Vishante, I'm gonna show you out. Or any Doctor Strange reference, yeah. It has to be said. Let's see. I just want to throw this out. Max Russell, mm-hmm. @MaxRussell66, told me that Justice League is being filmed only 10 minutes away from his house, and he's going to try and take pictures for us.
Thank you.
Yes.
So, Max, thank you so much. That's awesome.
Let's scoop DC movie news.
Yeah, right?
Mm-hmm.
We'll just break a bunch of DC news.
Let's look at a couple of quick pictures. Let's see. Mued Latif, first of all, he drew some incredible illustrations.
Gosh.
Cool.
I think they might be for sale. At Mued Latif, @MUIDLATIF. He's got Deadpool. This is my favorite Jubilee ever.
Oh my gosh, that's so cool.
Like, that's a Jubilee nice. I actually kind of want to follow. I'm interested in that character. Like,
That's how Jubilee should be.
I thought that Captain Marvel was great.
That's awesome.
What's the next one? Look at that Doctor Strange. That's awesome.
It
kind of
looks like you.
I mean, a bit, sure, a bit. But like, I just like.
I know,
it's so,
I love
like,
it.
There's like this, like, sort of minimalism to it. Yeah,
I love his art style a lot.
Yeah, I like, dude.
Yeah. Look at that Vision.
Isn't that Vision cool?
Vision's I know. Rad.
Yeah, like Mued, you. I'm
really
sorry
good.
If I'm mispronouncing your name, but you killed it, man. Christian Hayes also, I think, did a Doctor Strange picture for us. If you could throw that up real quick, Mr. Doom. Do you guys have any other shout outs?
Yeah. I've got a couple from Twitter today. The one Jack says, awesome goodness going on here and welcome back to me. Pat Perf just saying that we're dropping F-bombs all over the place, but they were just F-bombs. And I want to give a shout out to Danny B Reviews and Actor JJ Johnson. And Max Russell also, because he tweeted out a link to our show.
Oh, thank you, Max. Here's that picture from Christian Haynes, who drew this Doctor Strange picture for us. Good work, Christian. You're a much better artist than I could ever even imagine being. So definitely wanted to get those up there. All right. So, do you have any iTunes or anything?
iTunes next week. I just want to shout out to Max around one last time. Yeah. And we are maybe going to do some sort of contest. We're going to figure that out. We're going to talk to him this week before next week. And I also, in Doom has a picture, I got to meet freaking Gary Dugan this week. Or Jerry Dugan.
What?
I'm not sure how to say the name.
What?
And,
that's awesome.
Dude, I got to meet the guy that's making my favorite Deadpool run.
That's
like,
awesome.
What
yeah,
it
he's
is.
The writer on Deadpool. Yeah.
He's the writer
yeah.
on
he's
Deadpool
so cool.
and Uncanny Avengers, which are two amazing Deadpool titles. And like, he's just
what's
killing
what
it.
What was he in town for?
He just came to Rob's birthday.
Nice.
Guys, Rob Fee. Buddy of
that's
mine.
So cool.
So
though.
He came to Rob's birthday and I'm going to try to get schedules to line up so we can have him on the show at some
sweet.
Point.
Oh, that's the best.
Not going to be till like fall because like this guy's crazy busy.
Yeah.
But he's writing some of the best Deadpool I've ever, and I never take pictures of people because it makes me uncomfortable, but I couldn't not. The guy is just
that's
like,
awesome.
That's the best.
It was so exciting. And he was just the man. We talked for like an hour about Deadpool.
No, he's super rad. He's so cool. Rad.
Yeah, I just had that. I was so excited. So, the way Deadpool is shaping up sounds amazing. The future of that comic's going to be great, and I really want to thank him and everyone for reading it so he can stay on the book because it's so good, and thanks, man.
All right, so we've super duper got to wrap it up. I had a few other Marvel lights that I wanted to get to, but I didn't have time, so I'll try to do it next week. Andrew Rivas, Brad Amsler, and Olaf Lesniak, you all asked me about Doctor Strange books. First of all, yes, I have read Jason Aaron's current run on Doctor Strange, and you should be reading it too.
Good.
It's absolutely one of Marvel's top five books right now. Mm-hmm. It's amazing what they're doing with it. Jason Aaron's nominated for an Eisner's Best Writer.
Cool. He should be.
Like, not just for Doctor Strange,
no,
but for everything he's writing.
Yeah,
he's
everything
one of the
he's
best
ever
writers
do, everything
out there right
he touches
now.
Is gold.
Yeah, he's like Southern Bastards is great. Yeah. Like, he's killing it right now. Other than that, read The Oath, start there, then tweet at me when you finish The Oath, and I'll tell you more to read. James Finnerman, @JJPF80, asks, was there ever a Deadpool-Wolverine team-up comic and graphic? I told him the Remender X-Force is the only one I could think of, but do you guys have any others?
My favorite run is The Good, the Bad, and the Ugly, and it's Wolverine, Deadpool, and Captain America.
Oh, that's right.
And it's probably the best Deadpool in, like, 10 years. It's a great jumping on point, because it takes place in, like, a little separate side story, and then it comes into the regular, so you can pick it up and just read that. And it's by that wonderful man we just showed a picture of.
Yeah.
Yeah, great. All right. I think we've got to wrap it up there. Anything else you guys want to throw out? We're at an hour 12.
Yeah, well, let's have this feature length thing. I'm doing TV fights today on Screen Junkies.
Are you?
So, yeah.
Cool.
And as of now, I'm undefeated over there with movie fights, TV fights, and movie games. Oh, so man. I gotta defend the belt.
Is that like an EGOT?
I think I gotta do schmoes, and then that's the next goal. But okay. Anyway, TV fights, pull for me. I got a bunch of Marvel stuff I'm gonna drop, and then it'll air on Saturday, and I love you guys, and thanks as always.
Meredith?
Oh, guys, I got to meet Little Bub, like, not just, like, at a convention. I got to, like, do a one-on-one interview with her, and she crawled on me, and she's super soft and really sweet, and that interview drops tomorrow on geek.com, so check that out. I'm really happy. I'm actually doing a ton of video work now. Won't be writing. I'll be doing a lot of on-air stuff, so I'm really excited, but I'm busy all the time.
Yay, busy!
I slept for 5 hours.
It's okay. Busy's good.
I love being busy. No, it's great. It's my favorite thing.
Bennett, what do we got? Where can we find you? What's your Twitter? Do you have a Twitter?
No,
do you have a Facebook?
An Instagram.
You have an Instagram?
Yeah, it's just Bennett Green.
Oh!
Yeah. And how do you spell Bennett?
B-E-N-N-E-T, and green like the color.
Uh-huh.
And I want to say to all the internet people out there, please don't take rumors and make them a true story, because some people are not educated on, like, rumors, and they think it's true, so, like, be careful what you put out there.
Thank you, Bennett. And that goes for me. I mm-hmm. I should have realized that, like, as a person who has a, like, who does their own Marvel show, and as a person who produces Fat Man on Batman and writes for, like, Comic-Con, people actually probably take what I say as true. And I'm not saying that that's not true. I have had a source that says they're talking. But I should be more careful with that, and I apologize.
No, it's okay for fans to take it. It's different when other people...
Every news source ever on the internet.
The industry knows better, but the industry is hungry.
One last thing. Jacob Rhodes on the live chat said that Shelby should be the MCU Jean Grey. I agree.
I agree. And I can be her Emma Frost. Thomas, what do you got going on?
Yeah, what do you got going on?
I am a regular contributor to TV Campfire Podcast on iTunes, Get the Point Radio, and Krypton Radio.
Oh, nice.
Awesome,
and
good.
You are... What's your Twitter?
At Tom Dave LA, TomDaveLA.
By the way, Tom is an incredible screenwriting professor and mentor and teacher and tutor. So if you have writing questions, just feel free to tweet them at you. And if you have time, when you have time, you'll do your best to address them, yeah?
Like, sure.
Sure,
I just put you out.
Matt volunteers friends for hours of Twitter labor. This just it.
Stop it. But like every once in a while, like I'll get like a writing question, and it's like I'll do my best to answer, but like you are an actual professor
or
and PhD.
If you
live in
Southern California, you might want to consider getting
a
degree.
Yeah, you might want to consider getting a master's and take a class, at Azusa Pacific, who has a great program. So is Craig Detweiler still there?
He's at Pepperdine.
He's at Pepperdine now. Yeah, that's right. Anyway. 1 hour 15. We got to sign off. Anyway, thank you so much for joining us today. We'll see you next week. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
From producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, Christian Harloff, and the entire Popcorn Talk Network, we would like to thank you for tuning in. For questions or comments, be sure to visit popcorntalk.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of the Popcorn Talk Network.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of the Popcorn Talk Network or its owners or principals.
All right, hey. All right, good job, guys. Let's just not come in tomorrow. Let's just take a day.